if you would, turn in your Bible to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 14. And we're going to read two sections from this chapter, starting at verse 22. And I will be reading from the New King James Version, looking at verse 22 in Mark chapter 14. It reads, "And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body.' Then he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank from it. And he said to them, 'This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many. Assuredly, I say to you, I will no longer drink of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God.' And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Then Jesus said to them, 'All of you will be made to stumble because of me this night. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered. But after I have been raised, I will go before you to Galilee.' Verse 29, Peter said to him, 'Even if all are made to stumble, yet I will not be.' Jesus said to him, 'Assuredly, I say to you that today, even this night, before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times.' But he spoke more vehemently, 'If I have to die with you, I will not deny you.' And they all said likewise." Now let's go down to verse 66. Let's all go down to verse 66. And picking up verse 66 in this same chapter of Mark, chapter 14, the Bible reads as follows, starting again at verse 66. "Now as Peter was below in the courtyard, one of the servant girls of the high priest came. And when she saw Peter warming himself, she looked at him and said, 'You also were with Jesus of Nazareth.' But he denied it, saying, 'I neither know nor understand what you are saying.' And he went out on the porch, and a rooster crowed. And the servant girl saw him again and began to say to those who stood by, 'This is one of them.' But he denied it again. And a little later, those who stood by said to Peter again, 'Surely you are one of them, for you are a Galilean, and your speech shows it.' Then he began to curse and swear, 'I do not know this man of whom you speak.' And verse 72, a second time the rooster crowed. Then Peter called to mind the word that Jesus had spoke to him, said to him, 'Before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times.' And when he thought about it, he wept." May God bless the reading of his word. And we just want to focus on that final verse, verse 72, which says, "A second time the rooster crowed. Then Peter called to mind the word that Jesus had said to him, 'Before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times.' And when he thought about it, he wept." And so we just want to focus for a short time this morning on this and all that we have read using the sermon title, Confronting Contradictions. Confronting Contradictions. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord God, you have given us your word. You have given us, Lord, your spirit, and you have given us a charge. And Father God, I ask that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart are in accordance with your word, are in accordance with your spirit, and that it leads us all, Lord God, to be able to recognize the contradictions, Lord, that may exist within, and to not just simply avoid the contradictions, but to confront them and forsake them. God, I ask that those that are hearing this word, Lord God, will be receptive to your word, and that we are all at the end not simply hearers of your word, but doers of your word. God, I thank you. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. To be consistent is a commitment we make to ourselves and others. It's about keeping our word to carry out what we have agreed to do. However, we live in a world of contradictions. And Merriam-Webster's dictionary defines a contradiction as any combination of statements, ideas, or features of a situation that are opposed to one another. We live in a country of contradictions, a country that stated back when it was founded on principles of freedom and justice that that's what we stand for, but at the same time allowed chattel slavery, Jim Crow, later on, and the denial of the right to vote, or only allowing the right to vote only if you were a white male that owned property. That was absolutely a contradiction. Yet this country has, over the years, confronted some of its contradictions. We also know full well that this country and many of its people have chosen to try and overlook many of its contradictions. Take any controversy that you see in our society today, whether it is the easy availability of guns, whether it's about wearing masks and the COVID-19 vaccine, or whether it's about voting rights, or whether it's about income or gender inequality. Any of these controversies, if you look at that controversy or debate that you have seen in our society, you will see that there is a group of people intent on trying to make people overlook and to continue to live with the contradictions that are before them. There is something called the principle of non-contradiction, which states that something cannot be both true and not true at the same time when dealing with the same context. So, for example, we have a table in our kitchen. It's wood. But that table in our kitchen right now cannot be made of wood and not be made of wood at the same time. Now, there are some situations that can all be true at the same time. If you were to say that I am the husband to Valerie, the father of Gabrielle and Stephanie, and the pastor of Unity all at the same time, then yeah, you can say that that is true, and that is true because there are some situations that allow for one person to wear multiple hats, so to speak. But there are some situations that simply cannot be true at the same time. You cannot have a square triangle. You cannot claim to be generous and not be a giver. You cannot love a person and hate that person at the very same time. You cannot serve two masters. The person will hate one master and love the other, or will follow one master and refuse to follow the other. Jesus said you cannot serve both God and worldly riches. But these are all contradictions. And when someone tries to believe and behave as though two contradictory positions can coexist, the Bible calls that being double-minded. Double-mindedness is literally having two separate minds holding contradictory thoughts. And we don't want to be double-minded, but single-minded. And many choose not to deal with their contradictions at all, or to pretend that there is no contradiction. And that is a state that is called denial. But any of us reading the Bible and learning about the character of our God knows that he seeks consistency. He does not seek contradictions, and he seeks consistency in his people. Anything in God's people that is not like him is a contradiction. The Bible itself seems to imply that our relationships, even with each other, has to be consistent and not contradictory. Jesus says, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. This is the whole law and the prophets. In other words, the way you would want someone to treat you, be consistent and treat them the very same way. Or put another way, avoid contradictions between what you think is appropriate for others and what you think is appropriate for yourself. Again, anything in God's people that is not like him is a contradiction. And in our lives, we will be confronted with our own contradictions. Adam and Eve tried to maintain the contradiction of having a close relationship with God, but disobeying him and then trying to hide from him in the Garden of Eden, trying to run and hide from an all-knowing, ever-present God is a contradiction. But God came and confronted their contradiction. David tried to maintain the contradiction of murdering the husband of a woman that he had impregnated and being one that was supposed to be after God's own heart, but God came and confronted that contradiction. Jonah tried to maintain the contradiction of hating the Ninevites, but also being a preacher of reconciliation and restoration, but God came and confronted that contradiction. You know, some of us are gifted at seeing the flaws in others. Some of us are gifted at seeing the contradictions in others. It is extremely easy to see the contradictions in the lives of others, but can you see the contradictions in yourself? Because if you're going to be a disciple of Christ, you better recognize that you are going to be brought face to face with your own contradictions. If unforgiveness is in you, it will be put before you. If jealousy or envy is in you, it will be put before you. If double-mindedness is in you, it will be put before you. These are contradictions, and the question for us all, for you and for me, whether we will confront these contradictions or whether we will confess them and forsake them. And that brings us really to our text here this morning. After Jesus and the disciples had left supper and gone to the Mount of Olives, Jesus told all the disciples that night that they would all be made to stumble because of him. We read in verse 29 that Peter denied that he would stumble, even if everyone else did. But Jesus responded by telling Peter in verse 30 that that very night, before the rooster crowed twice, Peter would deny him three times. But yet Peter had more to say. Peter thought he knew himself better than Jesus knew him. And so so the Bible says in verse 31 that Peter spoke more vehemently and insisted that he would never deny Jesus, even if he had to die. And all the other disciples agreed with Peter. Here we see the contradictions, especially in Peter. The same Peter that once went to a lake and caught a fish with money in its mouth, all at Jesus' direction, now is claiming that Jesus did not know what he was talking about. The same Peter who, after fishing all night and catching nothing, having then later dropped his net into the water to collect a haul of fish, all at Jesus' direction, now is claiming that Jesus didn't know what he was talking about. This was a contradiction. But we know what happened, and we read what happened. When reality came, when the rubber met the road, when the disciples all felt the pressure of possible arrest, they all fled. But the Bible drills specifically into the case of Peter. And starting at verse 66, we follow Peter through the scripture that night into a courtyard of the home of the high priest where Jesus had been brought after his arrest. God has not called us to be walking contradictions. His intent over time is for us to confront our contradictions so that we can acknowledge them and overcome them, to lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily besets us, and to run with patience the race that is set before us. And it was time for Peter to confront his contradictions. Peter had a whole lot of mouth when he was talking to Jesus earlier, but it was time for Peter to confront the fact that he was carrying fear. He may not have wanted to acknowledge it, but Peter was afraid. Now, to his credit, although all the other disciples had fled, Peter still followed Jesus after his arrest, but he kept his distance so as not to be identified with Jesus. Although we did not read it, you see that in verse 54, Peter followed Jesus and his captors at a distance, not loudly demanding that Jesus be released. There is no question that fear gripped Peter. And Peter was following Jesus and his captors with a spirit of fear and not with a spirit of faith. Fear stands in contradiction to faith. And Peter was about to find out about confronting contradictions. Peter eventually arrived at this courtyard outside the home of the high priest, and from the courtyard, Peter watched Jesus being falsely accused, beaten, and insulted, and Peter did nothing. Peter was afraid that Jesus would die, and he was fearful for his own life as well. When Peter was never accused of anything but just being associated with Jesus Christ, Peter chose to deny Jesus. All Peter had to do in the courtyard was simply acknowledge that he was a disciple of Jesus. But the world hated Jesus, and Peter found that he was not prepared to face the persecution that Jesus was suffering. So while before Peter, he was talking tough about being prepared to die with Jesus, when the rubber met the road, Peter chose to lie about his association with Jesus. And to me, the real trip when you read this is that his denials grew in intensity each time. First, in verse 68, Peter just gave a simple denial to a single maid who claimed that he was with Jesus. But then the next time, the strength of Peter's denial went up a notch. In verse 70, Peter denied Jesus not just to the maid again, but also to a group of bystanders that he was not one of the disciples. And then finally, in verse 71, Peter denied with cuss words to a group of bystanders that he was not one of them. The principle of non-contradiction was at play. Something cannot be both true and not true at the same time when dealing with the same context. Either Peter was ready in that courtyard to state that he was a disciple of Jesus, or Peter was not ready in that courtyard to state that he was a disciple of Jesus. And here is the contradiction, because you cannot claim you will always align yourself with Jesus, but also allow for a time that you will deny Jesus. That is a contradiction. And the same Peter that said in verse 31 that he was prepared to die with Jesus, now here in verse 71 was cussing and denying Jesus. Peter was now having to confront a contradiction. The ironic thing is that it was not just Jesus that was on trial. It was Peter that was being tried. It was Peter that was being tested. And the purpose of Peter's trial and test was for him to confront his contradictions. And that is what we go through in our lives. When we go through trials and tests that will at times make us confront our contradictions, they do not happen by chance. God is allowing them to happen. It is God allowing us the opportunity to confront our contradictions. Trials are the things that we come upon as a byproduct of living in this fallen world. We run into challenges and trials without having to search them out. They will find us. And admittedly, we all find ourselves in trials more often than we choose to be. We know that Peter's walk with Jesus did not end, though, in the courtyard. His walk with Jesus was to go on to a higher level. Because the beautiful essence in Peter's story here is that this all shows that Jesus is not about condemnation, but he is about restoration and reconciliation. Our contradictions will not define us, but how we handle our contradictions, those will define us. Because following his resurrection, Jesus took special care to rehabilitate Peter and assure him that he was forgiven and ready for ministry. And weeks later at Pentecost, the Holy Spirit filled the apostles, and it was Peter that began to preach to the crowd. And we know from Acts chapter 2 that 3,000 people were converted that day. A reminder that although you may have once had contradictions, Jesus is there to help rehabilitate and restore and reconcile you back to him. And the same Peter that was so fearful in Mark became so bold in Acts. He had confronted his contradiction. And you know, church tradition says that persecution for Peter eventually led him away from Jerusalem and to Rome. And tradition says that when it became time for Peter to be crucified himself, that Peter told them that he was not worthy of being executed in the same manner as Jesus. Tradition says that Peter was said to have been crucified upside down. And so as I move to my conclusion, we are on a walk. But the question now is, are you and I going to walk tolerating contradictions? Or are you and I going to confront those contradictions and walk not as one that is double-minded, but with singleness of mind? There are really two types of people, those that who will hang on to contradictions and do everything they can to either hide them or justify them, or those who will, when the contradiction is exposed, will confront the contradiction and ask God's help to forsake the contradiction. Either you will live with the contradiction, or you will seek to live without it. If you are saved, you have the indwelling Holy Spirit at work in you. It's sanctifying you and making you more like Jesus. And that means that if there is any double-mindedness in you, any contradictions, then they will be brought to light. And the gospel message is about allowing Jesus to rescue us from our contradictions, to confront them by his power, and to forsake them. Jesus did not put up with contradictions, and we who are his people should not put up with them. And this is because Jesus has no desire for us to function as hypocrites. The word hypocrite in the Greek means an actor or someone who is playing a role. Hypocrites look the part when the eyes and ears are on them in certain situations, but once the eyes and ears are not there, hypocrites are entirely different people. And God has no desire for us to live a life of hypocrisy, and that is why Jesus tests and tries us, or allows that to happen, to expose our contradictions to ourselves and allow us to confront them and to forsake them. We can come to Jesus as we are, but we cannot stay as we are. Today is Palm Sunday, the day that Jesus entered Jerusalem before his crucifixion on that Friday. Jesus came to Jerusalem to confront contradictions, to confront the contradiction of the existence of sin and a universe that was made by a holy God. And Jesus confronted that contradiction with an old rugged cross. So let us leave this call this Palm Sunday morning determined to confront whatever God shows us in ourselves that is not right. And we can confront those contradictions in the power of God's word and by his Spirit. God absolutely intends to confront any of our contradictions because part of God's plan is for his children to examine themselves daily. Confronting contradictions means wholeness. Confronting contradictions means being whole. Do you want to be made whole? And when God makes you whole through Jesus Christ, you get to drop the contradictions you have maintained to keep people thinking well of you or to keep yourself thinking well of yourself. You get to drop them and be fully yourself and begin to have singleness of mind. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord God, we thank you, Lord, for your word. And we thank you, Lord God, through how in your word you show how you confront contradictions. Help us all, Lord God, to recognize the contradictions that are within ourselves and to know that you are not a God of condemnation, but that you are a God of restoration and reconciliation. And help each and every one of us, Lord God, to look at that contradiction, address that contradiction, and to know that we are doing it in the power and might of you. Thank you, Lord God, for your word and the power of your word. May you bless, Lord God, the preaching and teaching of your word. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.